Well, amen. Thank you, Brother Steve. Well, obviously, today is Mother's Day, and so I thought, that we would take a look at a passage today that deals with that subject of womanhood and motherhood, that passage that Brother Steve just read, Proverbs 31. And of course, we're going to get back to Revelation 17 next week, but I kind of mentioned it briefly while I was up here last Sunday. Kind of felt it was a little bit inappropriate to preach on Revelation 17 this week, bearing in mind that that passage is all about the harlot of Babylon. And a little inappropriate on Mother's Day, I think, but we'll get there next week. And so, but I also come here today because this proverb is one that I think that we can learn a lot from, one that gives us a lot of reminders that we need to hear from time to time. And Proverbs 31, when you study it out, it's a real interesting text of Scripture, and more specifically because it is a different kind of proverb. If you read through all of the Proverbs, it's very, very unique. And this is because the author of the proverb, who Proverbs chapter 1 identifies as King Solomon, he actually attributes this proverb to somebody else, namely in this text, his mother. Very appropriate that we go to a proverb that was written by a mother or influenced by a mother on Mother's Day. You notice verse 1, it says, the words of King Lemuel, an oracle that his mother taught him. So again, as I said before, very appropriate for Mother's Day. And when you study it out, you find that that name Lemuel, very much debated among scholars as to whether or not it was simply a nickname for King Solomon or if it was an entirely different king altogether. But most likely it was in fact a nickname that was given to Solomon by his mother Bathsheba, more than likely. And Lemuel, when you go into the Hebrew and you study it out, it literally means, it can be translated as for God or from God. You can see the term El there at the end. Some of you might know a little bit of Hebrew. The term Elohim, El, is a short version of the word for God in Hebrew. So you can see that from God is how it is, how that word can be translated, Lemuel. And you also have the name Solomon, which can be translated. It's a derivative, actually, of another familiar Hebrew term. It's the term Shalom, which means peace. And so Bathsheba, Solomon's mother, most likely, reflecting upon, again, if you know the circumstances, if you read the Old Testament of Solomon's birth, most likely reflecting upon that shalom, that peace that God had given her after losing her first child due to, of course, David's sin, he named Solomon Solomon as a reminder of that shalom, as a reminder of that peace that came from his birth, and then also would have given him this nickname Lemuel, as kind of another reminder, a reminder of where that shalom, where that peace came from, namely from God, okay? Peace from God, in other words. And that kind of makes sense because if you're a mom here, I mean, we all kind of, I know moms are kind of notorious, at least my mom is, for giving endearing nicknames to their kids, and I'm not going to repeat any of those nicknames today. My mom's right up here, so you can ask her if you want to know what she calls me, but they come up with interesting nicknames, that's for sure. So it's not really outside of the possibility that this was, again, simply a special nickname that Solomon's mom had given to him. But this proverb is unique, as I said before, and it's unique in the sense that it's a woman. It's a mother here, writing scripture here, specifically giving advice to her son, giving wisdom to her son, advice that, of course, he would indeed, as we see here, utilize for his entire life, to the point where he actually wrote it down. As verse 2 reads, this mom asks in the course of this proverb, what are you doing, my son? What are you doing, son of my womb? What are you doing, son of my vows? And so essentially, this mother is asking her son, right at the beginning of this proverb, to consider his ways, to think about what he's doing, to think carefully about how this young man lives his life and the choices that he makes, and to consider the effect of those choices. And really, that's what godly moms do, right? That's what godly women do. And that's really what we're meant to consider as you read through this text of Scripture. You have a godly mom who loves her kids. And again, that's what godly moms do. They love their kids. And by the way, they love their kids enough to speak up and to give them biblical and godly advice when needed. And that is indeed a virtue. It's a virtue of a godly woman. And that virtue of a godly woman is really what this text is most notoriously known for. It's what it's mostly known for. Oftentimes, this text is known as the what? It's known as the virtuous woman passage, which is based upon the King James Version's reading of verse 10. King James reads in verse 10, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies." Of course, we generally utilize the English Standard Version, and that same verse is rendered as an excellent wife. I actually think that the term wife there, I'm not sure why they use the term wife there and translate it that way, because it should be translated as woman. An excellent woman who can find, she's far more precious than jewels. And I bring our attention here to this because as I delve into the Hebrew, as you break down this passage in the Hebrew, I really don't think that either one of those terms, virtuous or excellent, I don't think that either one of those terms really get to the true meaning of what the author is going for. And this is because when you translate the Hebrew word there for virtuous, for excellent, you find that it's the Hebrew word chayil. And it's one of those guttural sounds in Hebrew. And it can literally be translated as strength. Chayil can be translated as strength. And that's important because that same term, chayil, is used throughout the entirety of this proverb. Matter of fact, that same term is used in verse 3 of the text. When this mother gives advice to her son, she says, "Do not give your chayil, do not give your strength to women, your ways to those who destroy kings." And we see it later on in the text as well, that same term. So in using that term chayil, we understand that essentially what verse 10 is talking about here is a woman of chayil, a woman of strength. This text is talking about a strong woman. That's what the proverb writer is trying to communicate. Not just an excellent woman, not just a woman who is virtuous, not just a virtuous woman, but a strong woman. A woman who utilizes her God-given chayil, her God-given strength, to take that strength and strengthen other people. And that's essentially what motherhood is, right? It's you, as a mom, utilizing your life to strengthen the lives of those who God has put in your care. To use your strength to strengthen the lives of your kids. To strengthen the lives of your husband. To strengthen the lives of those who God brings into your life providentially. And this is what mothers are called to do and to be, according to this text. To be women of strength. And that's the title of our sermon today. The Woman of Strength. Coming from that Hebrew term chayil there, the woman of chayil, the woman of strength. And so we're going to take a look at that today. And so what does this woman of strength look like according to Proverbs 31? How does she utilize that strength in the lives of those whom God has put into her care? Well, first and foremost, point number one, the woman of strength strengthens others with biblical wisdom, with biblical wisdom. And that's really what the first 9 verses of this paragraph, the first paragraph of the proverb, are really meant to point us to. They record for us the biblical and really, as you look at this, very practical advice from a mother to a son about the way that he lives his life and to live his life in certain ways, practical ways, in order to honor God, but also how to live in a way that will also benefit himself, in a wise way that will benefit himself and those that are put into his care. And so this mother in particular, she knew that her son had many, many responsibilities. In this case, not just as a man, but in this case, of course, we're talking about Solomon as a king. It's King Solomon. And so he needed a lot of wisdom. He needed wisdom in order to be able to govern in the way that God wanted him to govern. Of course, we know if you study out Solomon that he was known for just that, right? He was known for his wisdom. But interestingly, here we get to see a small glimpse into where Solomon would have gleaned some of that wisdom from, right? Here we see the wisest man who ever walked this planet outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. See the wisest man who ever lived gleaning wisdom from his mom. That's kind of neat, isn't it? It's kind of cool when you really think about it. And so in order to live up to that responsibility as a king, King Solomon, he needed this wisdom in order to basically to be wary of doing anything that's going to distract him, anything that's going to lessen him, anything that will sap up his strength, anything that would be a detriment to him effectively governing Israel and how to lead Israel. And so that's where we pick up in verse 3. Notice she writes, "Do not give your strength, do not give your chayil to women, your ways to those who destroy kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, or for rulers to take strong drink, lest they drink and forget what has been decreed and pervert the rights of all the afflicted. Give strong drink to the one who is perishing, and wine to the one in bitter distress. Let them drink and forget their poverty, and remember their misery no more. Open your mouth for the mute, for the rights of all who are destitute. Open your mouth and judge righteously. Defend the rights of the poor and the needy. And so, kind of just summarizing this really quick, you could spend, you know, months on this particular proverb, but just in summary, the advice that this mom is giving her son is to not get distracted, to not allow these distractions of life to sap up your strength. First, very practically, with a lot of women. That's what he says. Don't give your strength to women. And then also not to get distracted with substance abuse, with in this particular case, alcohol. And of course, these are great practical, biblical, and yes, I would argue motherly advice, right? These are things that moms say to their kids. For any son, because both of these things, a lot of women, right, being sexually deviant and substance abuse, both of those things, they have a tendency to destroy, as verse 3 states, right? They have a tendency to destroy lives. For instance, giving one's strength to women, as it says here, or one's virtue, as sometimes it's translated, or by implication here with many women, that's what he's talking about here, or sleeping around, in other words, it has dire consequences and can indeed destroy any kind of potential greatness, any kind of success in life, not to mention it just practically speaking dishonors God. That's the way sexual immorality always works. We're going to talk about that a little bit more next week from Revelation 17. Sexual immorality will always, it will never, ever lead you to a good place. Never, ever. Never lead you to success. And the same really could be said of drinking in this particular case. Alcohol has destroyed many people's lives. I'm sure that we talk with every one of us, we can point to somebody in our lives whose life has been destroyed by alcohol. And so her advice to her son is basically just cast that vice aside. Don't even go down that road. Her advice is that it's not good for kings to drink. And why is that? Well, because according to verse 5, it tends to cause them to do what? To forget, and also to act, according to verse 5, perverted, which indeed is often can happen when you drink, right? Can I ask a question? Does drinking ever give you wisdom? Does it ever give you any kind of wisdom? No, I would argue not. And oftentimes it leads to the exact opposite of wisdom, right? It causes you to act foolish, right? It leads to foolishness. And so, obviously, good advice here. But more so than this, her advice implies here, if you keep reading, that drunkenness is not for somebody whose life is going particularly well, okay? Not for somebody who is particularly successful. Instead, drinking is for who? Notice, it says drinking is for the perishing. Get their minds off of how terrible their lives are. Those who are, according to verse 6, in bitter distress. Those who are in verse 7, misery. That's what it's for. In other words, her advice is that alcohol is only going to lead to failure. It's going to lead to failure in your life and not success. In this particular case, that a king is striving for, or for himself, or for his people. Okay? And I would argue that this is great advice. It's obviously in the Proverbs. It's wisdom. It's a wise advice, in this particular case, from a mom. And I would argue from a sage mother who speaks, I think, from experience. For instance, as I said earlier, we know if this is Solomon's mom, we know that this is Bathsheba speaking here. Bathsheba. And of course, we know that Bathsheba, she knew a thing or two about sexual immorality, didn't she? She knew a little bit, you know, about that, how it affected her, how it affected King David, and also, obviously, how it caused the death of not just her first husband, Uriah the Hittite, but also the death of her firstborn, right? And the same, I could argue with the same thing about drunkenness. If you read Scripture in its totality, drinking almost always in the text of Scripture leads to misery. It leads you to more problems. And so avoiding these vices is just the wisest. It's the best kind of motherly advice that could be given to anybody, I would argue. And so the application here today is that a woman of strength, she strengthens others with this same kind of strong, sound, biblical, and I would also argue very practical advice. It's what a strong woman does. A strong mom, she cares for her kids, and she wants them to grow up. And not just grow up, but grow up in the best way that they possibly can. Wants these kids to grow up and honor the Lord with their lives. And so what does she do? She takes the time to teach those kids, to pour into them this kind of godly advice, this kind of wisdom that we see in this text, so that Lord willing that child grows up and takes it to heart and applies it throughout their lives. And so I would say this, is that as we consider Mother's Day today, and I know not all of us are blessed in this area, but if God has blessed you today with a mom that does just this, who took the time to pull you aside sometime and give you this kind of godly, kind of sound advice, this kind of wisdom, be sure to take a little time today to thank God for her, amen? To take the time to thank God for her, and more than that, to strive to live after that wisdom that she's given to you, these lessons that she's poured into you, okay? And I'm sure that some of us here today, I'm sure that some of us would wish that we would have listened to our moms, right? I mean, maybe some of us wish that our moms were still here in order to give us more of that sound advice, right? So don't take that for granted if God has given it to you. Don't take it for granted. God has blessed you with this kind of godly mother, godly grandmother, godly woman in your life who's poured this kind of wisdom into you. Take the time today to appreciate her, to tell her how much you love her, to tell her how much you are thankful for that biblical wisdom. Again, just practically speaking, call her up. You know, if she's still in your life, you know, tell her something in your life. Maybe something that just rings true that she said to you all those years ago that still sticks with you. Something along those lines. And again, if your mom is with the Lord today, you know, be sure to take that wisdom that God has given you through her and pass it on to somebody else. Pass it on to your kids. Pass that on to somebody in the church so that you too today, if you're a lady, of course, would be a woman of strength as described here in Proverbs 31. And so that's first and foremost. But point number two, the woman of strength strengthens others also by serving them, by serving them. And so moving on, this text in verses 10 to 22, it outlines all kinds of various ways in which this woman of Chayil, this strong woman, she utilizes that strength. Namely, not just for herself, but mostly for the sake of others. Notice verse 13. It says, she seeks wool and flax, and she works with willing hands. In other words, this strong woman works really, really hard. And she does so willingly. She doesn't do so begrudgingly or with a bad attitude. Verses 14 and 15, it continues that this kind of good work ethic, this kind of selflessness. It reads this, picking up in verse 14. She says that she brings her food from afar, far away. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. In other words, this woman of strength, she has others in mind all the time. She has everybody else in mind while she is working. She's not ultimately working and laboring for herself, but for who? For her household, and also for those maidens that are in her employ. Anybody that's in her life, in other words. And verse 16 to 22, it proves this even more with the variety of things that she does, all for the sake of others. Notice verse 16. She considers a field and she buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with chayil, there it is again, with strength, and makes her arms chayil, it's another derivative of it, and makes it strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hand at the distaff, and her hands hold to the spindle. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of snow for her household, for all of her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. And so, in other words, this woman is just constantly doing a ton of things, okay? She's never, ever idle. She's always busy all the time, but all of that busyness is very well directed. It's all of that busyness has one purpose, and that is serving other people. The woman of strength, she's always using that strength that God has given her to care for, to serve, and every single person that God has providentially placed in her life. She's constantly sacrificing for the betterment of others without any kind of hint of selfishness or self-service. And really, when you think about it, as it applies to today, really that's what motherhood is, right? It's a life of selfless sacrifice, really from the very start. Right from the very start of motherhood, right? I've had the privilege of seeing my wife get pregnant and give birth now three times, and I'm always amazed every single time I see it of just that kind of sacrificial strength, that kind of fortitude that it takes, first and foremost, for her to be pregnant, okay? Because that's a strength in and of itself, right? And then to give birth, but also afterwards to care for those little ones as they grow. And moms, if you've ever given birth, you know, okay, just the process up to birth is an adventure in and of itself, okay? Your body gets big, it gets heavy, it gets uncomfortable for those 9 months, right? And then there's the actual pain of childbirth, which, again, I don't even want to think about as a man. Amen? Amen, brothers? I don't even want to think about it. I stub my toe, and I am laid up for a week, okay? I jump out of the truck in the wrong way, and my back is tweaking. Oh, you know, I couldn't even imagine giving birth, okay? Not at all right? But again, all of that is done for what? By that woman, by that mom. It's done for the sake of somebody else. It's done for the sake of that little baby. She goes through the morning sickness day after day, all the discomfort, and not to mention the pains of childbirth, not for herself. Not for herself, but for the sake of that little life that is growing inside of her body, right? And it doesn't stop there, right? There's all the sleepless nights, right? To care for that baby for many years. Then they get older, and then the cares don't go away. They only grow, right? Helping them, all selfless, all for the sake of that child, all for the sake of that little one. And so we see here that motherhood, it is the epitome of selfless service, and one that should be embraced, I would argue, one that should be appreciated, and indeed one that should be applauded over and over and over again. And being a mother is the definition, I would argue, of strong woman, of that woman of Ha'il, the woman of strength that we're looking at here today. But I'd argue today, and I know I hit on this last week when we looked at Psalm 127, but I would argue that the world obviously doesn't see motherhood in this way, by and large. Oftentimes, the world around us will tell you that motherhood is a trap, that it is somehow a weakness to have children and to care for children. That the truly strong woman, that she would never, ever be like this. She would never, ever be so selfless as to sacrifice my life, to sacrifice my body, to be able to sacrifice my choice, my career, my respect for somebody else. That's the epitome of weakness, much less for a little baby, right? And motherhood is so demeaned in our culture. It is so demeaned, and selfishness, on the other hand, is so embraced that what is actually called women empowerment today is to be able to be empowered to legally murder your baby. That's what it is today in our culture. And in some cases, right up to them being born. That's where it's going today. We need to pray for an end of abortion. We need to, as a church. And as perverted and as disgusting as that is what the woman of strength looks like in the eyes of the world. This is where we are today. But no. That is not at all how it is in God's eyes. As this scripture shows, the true woman of strength is the one who lives her life right from the get-go for the sake of other people, for the sake of others in their life. The true woman of strength is the one who exhausts herself for the sake of her family, for the sake of her husband, for her children. Indeed, as it says here, anybody who God providentially puts in her care. And so again, I just want to encourage us today that if you have or have had a woman like that in your life, your mom maybe, your wife, grandmother, aunt, whoever, you know, praise God for them today. Take a little time today and praise God for them. And if they're still here, thank them. Thank them for all the sacrifices that they've made for you. Display your appreciation for them, for the selflessness that they've displayed for you. And praise God for allowing her to be in your life today. And again, I would just say to the ladies who are here today who are living that life of sacrifice, you're living your life for the life of others, to keep on doing what you're doing. Keep on doing what you're doing. Keep on honoring God. I know it's not going to be done perfectly, okay? But keep on looking to Christ. Keep on looking to the Lord. And keep on being that woman of strength that God has called you to be. But that leads us to point number three today, that the woman of strength strengthens others, finally, with her faith. With her faith. And so the final few verses in this text, verses 23 to 31, they're basically a great summation of the previous points that we've seen throughout the text of Scripture. Verse 23, it says that because of her hard and selfless work, that her husband is able to grow in respect in the community, which in turn helps her and helps her family, as well as the rest of the community that they are living in. And then you have verses 24 and 27, and again emphasizing her hard work and buying and selling and making money to be able to provide for her family. In other words, that good work ethic that we looked at, right? You have verse 26 that really shows us again what we looked at in verses 1 to 9, namely the wisdom, the teaching that she invests into her family. But where I really want us to focus right now on in this final point is on verse 25. It says the following. Take a look in your text of Scripture. Notice that strength, this chayil, strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. In other words, that this woman of strength, she's not a worrier. She's not a worrier. Doesn't sit around, you know, fretting over the future or as it says here, to the days to come. And what does she actually do in light of the future? What does she do? She actually goes as far as this translation says to laugh at it. It says that she laughs. She mocks the future. Why? She jokes about it. She casts aside all of the anxiety and fear for what is going to happen tomorrow. But how? How can she do this? How can she laugh? How can she find humor in the unknown and the terrors of the future? How does that work? How can this woman be so strong that she simply just brushes off all of the panic and all of the fear around her to the point where she can actually crack a joke about it, where she can actually laugh about it? Well, it's because of what verse 30 says. Notice, very famous text, charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears who? Fears the Lord is to be praised. Amen. And so this woman of strength, she doesn't fear the future. She does not fear the time to come. She actually laughs at it. She rejoices in it. Why? Because the only thing that this woman of strength fears is God. Amen? It's only God. In other words, that she can laugh at the time to come, and she can take joy in the present because she knows that God is sovereign, that God is the one who is ultimately in control. And she knows that God is the one who ultimately gives her the grace and gives her that chayil, gives her that strength each and every day to be able to take care of the responsibilities that God has placed on her for her husband and for her kids and for her family. And she knows this ultimately because by God's grace, she's been granted that eternal life, the ultimate source of grace, the ultimate source of strength in Jesus Christ, through the gospel of Jesus Christ, that God has displayed his goodness, has displayed his love in the most ultimate of ways by sending his only begotten son, Jesus, to pay for her sins, to cleanse her from all unrighteousness, to cleanse her from all of her sin, and that through that glorious resurrection has given her the eternal life that she looks forward to in the future. And so the true woman of strength is one who is comforted by her faith. Her faith in Jesus Christ, and through that, her faith in God's sovereignty, God's control over all things. And that truth, that gospel and God's sovereignty, that is what strengthens her, and the strength, it gives her the strength to be able to strengthen others because of her fear of God, her strong faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. She can face anything, and she knows that. She can face every challenge in her life with joy, with laughter in her heart, to the point where she actually mocks the future. Why? Because again, my God is in control. And that is going to be taken. When you have that attitude as a mom, it's going to be infectious to the rest of the family, right? It's going to be infectious to her family, those who she cares for. And this is the reason why verse 28 and 29 states this. What? Her children rise up and call her what? Call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. It has a quotation here. Many women have done excellency. Excellently, but you, mom, you surpass them all. And all of that is rooted in her fear of the Lord, in her strong faith in the Lord. It isn't based upon the temporal. It's not based in her deceitful charm, as the text states, or her vain beauty, these things that are going to come and go, right? Or anything that the world offers. But ultimately, it's based in her chayil, in that strength that can only come from God, can only come from the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I pray that today would be a reminder for us today, just a reminder of the great blessing that a God-fearing, sacrificial, selfless, that these God-fearing women and mothers are to us. And I pray that it would cause us, those of us especially who've had the privilege of having a mom or to have a grandma or somebody in our life like this, to reflect upon just how amazing of a blessing that is, the advice that she has given to us, and be strengthened and grow by it, that we'd appreciate all that they have done for us over the years. I talked about it before, for just giving birth to us, okay? That's a strength in and of itself, and then caring for us and working hard to be able to meet our needs. And may it also cause us to ultimately emulate them, emulate their faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so that we like them, that we might glorify our great God just like them, to serve him with all that we have, and ultimately to take what we have learned and pass those truths down to another generation to do the same. And so, again, it's one main application today is just appreciate our moms today. Amen? Appreciate our moms and praise God for them. And so, as verse 30 to 31 concludes, I'll leave us with this. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we do thank you so much for today. Thank you, God, for the reminder of Proverbs 31. God, we thank you for so much, God, that for just all of the blessings that you give us, first and foremost in Jesus Christ. God, thank you so much, God, for the gospel and for all that you have done for us in and through Christ. But God, you bless us so much and you take care of us so much. And God, one of the ways you do so is by bringing good, godly mothers and women into our lives, God. Women of strength, as we've looked at today. And Lord, we praise you for them. And so I pray that today, Lord, would be just a small little reminder, very practical, kind of rubber meets the road kind of sermon today, Lord, where we would just appreciate that blessing that you have granted to us. God, may we appreciate the blessing of our mothers, of our grandmothers, of of, Lord, I was reflecting this week of all the other women, God, that you've brought into my life. Lord, a godly aunt and godly Sunday school teachers, Lord, that you have brought into my life. And just women who are of faith, strong women, God, who have exampled that Christian faith for us. And so, Lord, I just pray, God, that we would strive to emulate them. But, Lord, I pray, God, that for the moms here today, that they would remember that that strength that we talked about doesn't ultimately come from themselves. God, it comes from you. It comes from your gracious, godly hand, first and foremost, in and through the gospel. But Lord, I pray that they would rely upon you each and every day for more and more grace. God, that it wouldn't be through their own strength, but through the strength that only that you provide. And so, Lord, I pray for our moms today, and I pray for your blessing upon them. And so, Lord, be with us, Lord, as we close our service now. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand together.